So yeah, welcome to the batch talk of 2022. Most of you probably got your batch at the check-in. And in this little presentation, we'll go through sort of the specs of the batch and sort of little ideas on what sort of why stuff has been made as this. And also at the end, answer questions and if you have sort of what's what. This year's batch is based on the RP2040. It's a dual-core ARM processor. It's the one made by Raspberry Pi like a year and a half ago. It has some 16 MB of SPI flash and a color screen so that sort of the software side is very easy to sort of get going with. There are four buttons sort of to make easy sort of game navigation. And it also has a quick connector for adding other stuff to it in addition to the shitty add-on. And then a bunch of extra IOs on the edges and little prototyping areas. So the main processor is the RP2040. It's the Cortex-M0+. It's actually dual-core. It runs on 133 MHz and has quite a lot of SRAM actually compared to these smaller processors, which makes them nice to use with stuff like CircuitPython or MicroPython to have the little extra RAM. The chip itself doesn't have any built-in flash, so we have that little extra chip next to it. And we've added 16 MB. 16 MB is a lot of space for microprocessors in general. But as we're using the same flash for media files, images, and so on, having extra space for extra things is pretty nice. This chip from Raspberry Pi is a little special. It is a dual-core ARM0, Cortex-M0, but it has these programmable IOs. So it's like normally you have serial UARTs and you have I2C, you have SPI. These programmable UARTs, IOs are little extra registers, and you can sort of program them to do sort of similar things to these regular peripherals. And that way you can actually achieve sort of some speeds in some areas where writing regular code is not really, and you can sort of offload tasks to these programmable IOs. The batch comes with CircuitPython, and CircuitPython itself in some of these libraries utilize those. So you don't need to directly interface with them, but CircuitPython will use some of these features. The chip comes with a hard-coded bootloader. So if you don't want to use the CircuitPython that comes with it, it's very easy to go into this bootloader that you can't remove, you can't delete it by accident or anything. And then you can put whatever you want on it, either MicroPython or C or whatever. We have the Quick, or Stemma QT. Quick is the SparkFun name for these little connector. Stemma QT is the name that Adafruit uses for a connector that is identical both electrically and sort of spec-wise. So it's VCC and ground in the connector. There's four pins, and then there's SDA and SCL. It works with many modules. Many companies make these compatible modules to one of these systems, and you can mix them as you see fit. It also has the shitty add-on. It's the six-pin versions. It has the key on the top, so you can't rotate. If you use the correct connector on your shitty add-on, you can't sort of put it on incorrectly. And also has the mechanical strength of the slightly larger connector. This connector also uses I2C. It's a very simple protocol. It's easy to add it to your add-ons. In the Hardware Hacking tent, SparkFun has sponsored a bunch of these Quick modules. So if you want to play with reading from a sensor or changing a relay or something, there are some modules there you can play with. If you make something awesome, you're welcome to keep the module. If you're just playing with it, you can just put it back in the box again, and then others can play with that afterwards. There aren't enough for everybody, but to play with, that should be okay. Kind Kamsa also brought a large box of various other bits and bobs. You're welcome to just play with those and integrate them into your projects and make awesome things. The badge has four holes in it. Those can be used as sort of mechanical mounting. You can, if you make a case or if you want to add these protoboards. There's a whole bunch of protoboards up in the hardware hacking also. You're welcome to take those and add stuff to them, solder to them. The screw mounting is actually used to carry VCC and ground from the badge up onto the board. There are little spacers in the box down there, these little brass spacers and screws that are the shortest screw you find down there will actually work from both, like one set from the front and one set from the back, and they will hold on the board nicely. You can solder on the little quick connector, and then you can break I2C up to this via little cable if you want to. If you sort of think, maybe these four buttons are a little too little for my game, then there are extra add-on, sort of IOs for the chip. They're put on the edges of the board with these little round in one end and flat on the other. You can either use these alligator clips to grab onto these, or you can wrap some like a conductive thread around them and tie a little knot because they're plated in there, in the hole, so the connection should be fairly okay. Otherwise, you can of course also solder a wire to it. I think maybe one of these PIOs can maybe be used to do sort of capacitive touch sensing on these. I haven't tried it, but I think it's if somebody wants to play with that, should be possible, I think. On the inside of the badge, so if you have the badge here, these two are analog inputs. They could, for instance, be used for a little analog joystick on this side. Kuro has made a little add-on, and so if you're interested in something like that, go find him, and I'm sure he can sort of assist them in there. I've heard something about a game that maybe used that that could run on the badge. The other ones are just regular IOs, the 10 and 11. They're called D10 and D11 inside the code. And then there's a TX2 and RX2. Those are just serial UARTs. You can also use them as just regular pins, but they can be used as a UART also for serial communication. Maybe you can connect two batches together with the wires. You might need the ground wire also to have it fully working. The batch comes with CircuitPython preloaded. It's very easy to get going. There's a code.py file in the root. That one includes a menu that Isaac has made in recent days. It lists all the apps that are inside the apps folder. So if you copy one of these, there's a little about app that just sort of shows some text. But if you copy that one, name it my cool game.py, it will be listed in the menu, and then when you click it in the menu, or either X or Y button, it goes into that Py file, loads it, and it'll run your app, and when it's done, it'll return to the menu. The lib folder is for CircuitPython libraries. You can just copy in libraries and share them for your code on the badge. There are also some other folders right now. There's an image folder that shows the splash image when the badge starts up, and there's a sponsors folder that holds all the sponsors logo that the sponsors app use. It mounts as a mesh storage device, but at the same time, it also presents a USB serial port on your computer. So if you want to have like debug output while you're sort of coding or changing the files, you can actually connect to that serial port, and you will get the output when it reboots. You can also go into Rebel and run Python commands directly on the badge. For inspiration on doing all sorts of things, maybe making your badge into a keyboard where you can use the buttons for up, down, right, left, or other things, macro pad style things, learn.adafruit.com is a giant source of a lot of examples. You can also make it into a MIDI device that sort of presents, you can send MIDI commands to your computer and have a synthesizer software and the computer maybe does audio and so on. If CircuitPython is maybe a little too slow for you, it is not the fastest, but if you want to have a lot more performance, it's very easy to get into this UF2 bootloader. Just hold down the boot button while you click the reset, or you can hold down when you power it up. Then it goes into the UF2 bootloader. It'll show up as a RP2 UF2 device. When you just copy over a firmware UF2 file, or whatever it's named, it will reprogram the batch with that firmware. So whatever tool chain you're using, could be C or Rust or MicroPython or whatever, copy it over that way, and you'll be up and running. Many examples that you can use for Raspberry Pi Pico will run more or less unchanged than this. You might have to change sort of pin assignments and so on, but otherwise it'll be pretty much exactly the same code. So if you find an example that's, okay, this I can use my Pico for that, you can probably also use the batch here. If you want to use the screen and so on, you have to load libraries for that. The screen is connected via SPI. This is actually the same as for previous batches. You don't have to put batteries in the batch. You can simply just plug a USB cable in, and it will be powered via USB. You can also put two AA batteries in. They have to be sort of with the plus going up in both sides. I know many times it's sort of one of them the other way, but this here is a plus up in both of them. If you have USB power on the batch and the batteries in, it will always prioritize USB power. And even the power switch only affects the battery. If you plug a USB in, it'll turn on the batch. These USB-C connectors, they usually have a little extra pins. It is a low pin count USB-C connector on this one, so you don't have all the high-speed differential pairs and so on, because that chip doesn't really have that. But there are two extra pins that sort of wasn't used for anything. They're called SBU for sideband use. And I have decided to connect the RX1 and TX1 on the RP2040 to those pins. The idea is that you could connect two batches together with the USB-C cable, though this USB-C cable has to be some of the slightly more fancy ones, as these wires need to be inside the cable, and normal cheap cables might not have these. But it could be super fun to have a little two-player game, maybe shooting on one batch and shooting out of the top of the screen. They're coming, shots from the other player can come down on the top or something like that. The other thing is that the RP2040 can do host mode. So you can also set one of the batches up for host and the other one for a device. And that way actually communicate via USB. But that's a little more sort of advanced on the communication side. But that might be libraries and sort of be found and used. All the details are available on our GitHub repo. The default branch that is shown on GitHub is the hardware branch that has all the design schematics, hardware designs. There should be a PDF file with a schematic to find sort of if you want to do Rust programming or C, you can find the pinouts for each of the buttons and screens and so on. There are also other branches. It might be a slightly unorthodox way of doing it, but the other branches are not sort of variants of the hardware. They are like the software, the firmware that goes on there. So these branches are just could have been other repos, but having one URL, we've decided that it's easier just to have that single URL to find everything and then switch between branches. You can check out multiple branches if you want in different folders if you want to have access to all of it at the same time. Some of them include example code, the menu is there, the little test apps and so on. And if you guys make other little games or whatever, you're very welcome to just do pull requests to that repo, and we'll do our best to sort of get them in there. We dream of having like a whole collection of little games or apps or name tags or whatever. There are also brands with the add-on, the white add-on boards I showed earlier. PCBWay has sponsored the PCBs on the batch and also the add-ons. And they also assembled these boards, I would say some modern record time. I submitted the files in June 20th and July 20th, I had them in my hand. Normally it takes 5 weeks and that's a normal year. Right now getting parts is somewhat tricky, and that is one of the reasons we are using this RP2040 because that's actually one of the chips that currently in the world are available. My guess is because the car industry doesn't use it and other sort of that type of companies. So most of the other parts, except for the RP2040, are actually Chinese branded parts, sort of in an attempt to have it easier to source the part and not sort of run out and say, oh, we need this part, we have to wait 4 weeks for that. With the timelines we use for these batches, waiting 4 weeks is sadly not an option. So, but it actually worked very well. SparkFun has sponsored these modules. They're in a box in the Hardware Hacking. You just go have fun. There's also a coupon code if you want to make your own little add-ons. It's not a lot. It pays for 10 boards of this size, roughly. But you have to pay shipping yourself. They also do other things like metal cutting and bending and 3D printing. On Sunday, from 15 to 16-ish, there'll be a batch live meetup in the Hardware Hacking and in the start tent outside. Come hang out, bring your best hacks or whatever. The idea is to just do an informal hanging around, chatting about batches, electronics, hacking, that sort of things. But of course, also use the Hardware Hacking until then. It's open 24/7. There are soldering irons. There are a bunch of parts. All the parts that we had last year are also there, and a bunch more. So it's should be a nice place to hang out if you're sort of interested in electronics. You can also do other stuff. It doesn't have to be batch related. So very welcome to just use the tools there. Any questions? Yes.
Hello. When you decided the names for the buttons
yes.
on the side, how come you didn't go for either Nintendo or any of the known ones?
So the buttons are actually the same naming as has been on all the previous Bornhack batches. So all the way back to, I think, 17, which were the first year we had four buttons in that way. So I went with that. And I'm maybe not enough of a gamer to know all these standard patterns. So that's why they are like this. One of the ideas is that some of the previous batches, you could rotate them and use them in both in this way or in this way. So having X and having them sort of, you could flip them is one of the ideas. But yeah, that's the reason their name is there.
Other questions? No? Well, thank you, Floma.
Thank you.